Blog Talk Radio.
Are you looking to take your social technology strategies to the next level? Then do we have a show for you. Social Geek Radio co-hosts AK Stout and Deb Evans chat weekly with innovative technology folks who share their experiences, tips, and tricks to help you take your business to the next level. Social Geek Radio is brought to you by Saying It Social and Deb Evans Consulting, LLC. To learn more about their unique services, including but not limited to speaking, consulting, and training, visit AK Stout and DebEvansConsulting.com.
Well, hi there, everybody. I am so glad to have you joining me tonight. This is Deb Evans calling to you live from Houston. AK is off gallivanting tonight with her good friend or significant other, Jeff. It is his birthday, and I threatened to sing to him, but I will spare all of you that. So we'll just say happy birthday, Jeff, and I'm sure they're having a great time and probably listening from the restaurant table, so I want a cannoli if they're at a good Italian restaurant in Baltimore. But I've got a special surprise for everybody tonight. I'm going to hold on to Bonnie Sharon. Our gadgetista is with us, but she's going to hold tight for just a minute because Greg Goodson is here with us from Rafflecopter, and he has a really special surprise for everybody and offer to make. So, Greg, why don't we start off with you telling those who are not familiar with Rafflecopter what it is that Rafflecopter offers and does.
Yeah, sure. So first of all, thanks again for having me, even if it's just for a few minutes. I was on the show, I guess, about 6 months ago, and we presented Rafflecopter, which we like to say is the world's easiest way to run an online giveaway. And in a nutshell, we give you the ability to customize and embed a sweepstakes entry form into your site or Facebook page that lets folks enter in your sweepstakes by performing tasks in exchange for entries. And I guess the announcement is that over the last month we've basically relaunched, redesigned the site, have a bunch of new features, and up to this point, Rafflecopter has been completely free, but a lot of these new features, we have features like email integration with AWeber, MailChimp, and Constant Contact, Pinterest integration, a mobile-friendly Facebook app. And I just basically want to, you know, you guys had us on your show earlier, so I thought I'd pay it forward and say, you know, if anyone out there is interested in checking out the business version, which is about, I guess, it's $59. First 10 folks that would like to check it out, feel free to email me at greg@rafflecopter.com. And, mention Social Geek Radio, and we'll get you all set up.
Oh, that is very good. So I know a lot of our listeners have a Facebook business page, and I know that AK is just an avid fan of Rafflecopter, and she's used it a lot. So as you just said, anybody that has that Facebook page and they want to take advantage of Rafflecopter, they just email you, greg@rafflecopter.com, and they mention Social Geek Radio?
Yeah. As our way of saying thanks for hosting us earlier, and we're really proud of what we built, and we think this is truly the easiest way to run giveaways. So by all means, we want to give out, you know, 10 free business versions or monthly subscriptions. So we love to do that. So feel free to shoot me an email.
Oh, that's good. I just put it in the chat. So anybody that is listening and is in the chat, which I see we have a few folks in the chat, I put your email in there. And that's really nice of you. Thank you so much for playing it forward.
Yeah, you bet. And from what I hear, this is the last podcast of the year until 2013?
Yes, it is. Tonight is it. We're going to end it with a bang. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that's great. Well, we're looking forward to bigger and better things in the next year, and we'll continue to follow you guys, so I appreciate it.
And we'll do the same. Thank you. We really like what you guys produce and share. So thank you so much, and have a great night. And I think you guys have, you in Colorado, received your first snow.
A little snow that last night. That's right. I was busy Instagramming it this morning when I woke up. So not a ton, but enough to put a little dust in the on the leaves and so it's a nice taste of winter.
Well, great. Enjoy. So thanks again, and I see there's some folks in the chat. I think they've already left us because they're off emailing you right away. You should have your 10 entries right before you hang up.
Awesome. Well, we'll look forward to it.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Great. You too. Thanks a lot, Deb. Appreciate it.
Okay. So now on the line, I have Bonnie Sharon, who is the Gadgetista with Wireless Zone. And Bonnie, the first thing I know the folks are going to want to know is, all right, where did you get the name? Is it trademark? I mean, I know why you're a Gadgetista because that's just what you do, but where did all this come about?
Okay, well, it is trademark. I know you're bummed about that because I know you like Gadgetista too. But it came about because I was trying to find a good word for myself, and I didn't quite think geek, you know, said it all, and I didn't quite think nerd or techie said it all. So I got my pad out, and I started, you know, doodling down some things and, you know, what they call mashups now, and you try to mash some words together and that type of thing. So I came up with Gadgetista, and it kind of fit, and so I went ahead and trademarked it so I could have it all my own.
Oh, well, you certainly deserve it, so that's fine. But
thank you.
I'll be sad. I can't be a Gadgetista. Like, I certainly can't live up to your Gadgetista-ness. So tell us a little bit more about yourself. You're with Wireless Zone, and you're up in the Connecticut, the Northeast area, correct?
Yes, I'm in Connecticut. Our corporate office is in Connecticut. So I work for Wireless Zone, and we're a chain of about 428 stores, I believe. And
wow.
Verizon. Yeah, and Verizon is strictly our carrier, so we deal strictly with them as a carrier. And I do all our social media. And that's kind of a big umbrella for what I do because I wear a lot of hats there. When I say that, you know, I typically like to describe myself as an advocate for the end user. So that doesn't always really fit in with social media. So I kind of wear both of those hats where, you know, I'm kind of a brand advocate and I like to push the envelope and figure out things that I could do to make myself more productive and share that with others and also try to help people figure out problems that they might be having with their device. So, you know, I wear both of those hats and I love all things social and all things media, I guess. So social media is just kind of runs very nicely with it so that I can talk to people on Facebook and Twitter and answer questions all over the web.
Well, and I think you and AK too, the two of you, you're the best at multitasking. So I've seen you, you know, with your gadgets and you have multiple gadgets. I mean, when we were in New York together, so we got to meet up and meet each other for the first time, or at least face-to-face, when we were in Connecticut. And then following that weekend, you met me in New York for the Charity Miles Walk. And one of your gadgets that you had that day, which just blew my mind, was your earpiece that was a video camera. Everybody thought, you know, how many people do you see walking around talking to themselves because they have the Bluetooth in their ear? But you were not talking to yourself. You were not on the phone. You actually had, it was a video camera. It was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, it's really neat. I mean, it's a little bigger than a Bluetooth, so it's, you know, it's kind of noticeable when people see me, and then when they see a red light on it, they're kind of like, what's going on? What do you got going on there? But yeah, that was that's a really neat gadget because you can live stream to people. So, you know, I didn't necessarily have it hooked up that day for live streaming. And I think the problem that day with me was that I was looking down a lot, texting and doing the scavenger hunt and, you know, doing multiple things. So a lot of my footage was of the ground and, you know, people's feet walking. Because I wasn't really paying attention to what the screen looked like. You know, I could look on my phone and see the screen. But we were doing so many things that day that when I looked at the footage later, a lot of it was of the ground. But I did get some good footage, some fun footage, and a lot of audio.
So
that was, yeah.
I didn't realize that. Okay, so the piece was in your ear, and it was taking the footage. But you could have looked at your phone at any time to see what it was that you were seeing? Oh,
yes. So, Yeah, it's the camera itself is called Looxcie, L-O-O-X-C-I-E. And they have a website, and you can go on and download, or you can download from the App Store for iPhone, or even from the Android Marketplace, and you can download their app. And so they have Looxcie Camera, Looxcie Live, and Looxcie Moments. And each one does a little bit of a different thing, but the camera will let you see on the screen of your phone, because as you, you know, it looks just like a regular Bluetooth, you know, to explain to everybody else. You saw it, obviously, but... You know, so from that point of view, you wouldn't really know what you were videotaping. So you can actually see on your device, your phone, what your screen is capturing. And of course, it does work as a Bluetooth as well, so you can talk on it as well.
Yeah,
that gets a little crazy.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
That is really multitasking.
Yeah, I'm glad I wasn't talking on it too, because I was, you know, also taking pictures and tweeting and, you know, doing all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, I try to get the most out of the time I have available.
Yeah. Well, one of the things, and we have somebody in the chat, and I think you remember meeting Sarah when we were in New York. You shared with us, you're very generous, you paid it forward, and you gave us chargers, because we all knew that was going to be the panic of the day, is what do we do in New York City when we're doing a scavenger hunt using that app on our phones or tweeting and Facebooking and using the Charity Miles app, we're going to run out of juice with our phones. And you just use these chargers. Now, what were those, which were definite lifesavers for the day?
Okay, well, I'm not sure which brand I gave you at the time, but we carry many different power banks. They're called power banks. I think that's probably the easiest way to describe them. And what you do is you charge them ahead of time. They usually just take a little USB, you know, the micro USB, and then you can plug it into the wall or your computer. And they take, you know, probably an hour or so to charge. And then we'll give you an extra probably 8 hours on your phone battery, depending on which milliamp. You know, there's all different milliamps available. And then there's some that are solar. There's all different kinds. And there's all different attachments for them. Some of them can charge iPhone. Some of them can charge Android. Some can charge both. So there's a bunch of different ones available. And they're so great, because if you carry one around with you, you don't have to, you know, worry about running out on your phone. Or, you know, some of the phones are so, you know, heavy with battery consumption, as you know, that, you know, with us doing all that, and plus using Bluetooth and GPS like I was doing that day, those are also both big battery hogs, because they're continually searching for signals. So those were fun to have, because then, you know, you can just plug it into your phone. You know, it's a little extra bundle that you have to carry because it's plugged into your phone, but it certainly will save you the risk of running out of battery altogether.
Yeah, and they're great. I carry one with me and keep it charged all the time. And now I carry two, because sometimes I need two.
You know, I have two on me at any given time also. And usually, you know why I do that? I kind of, you know, I have one always for me. But if I'm somewhere and I hear somebody say to me, oh, my phone's dead, or, oh, no, my battery's almost gone, I'll say, hey, you know, let me, I don't give it away, because I don't have them growing on trees, but I will say, hey, you know, plug it in here and I'll give you a little charge, you know, for a little bit for the, you know, the time I'm with them or whatever. And that'll get them out of a sticky situation. So I always carry two of them with me.
Yeah. And we were talking just a minute ago with Greg about paying it forward. And I don't know, I get an extra charge if I'm in the airport, or I'll see somebody frantically at a conference looking for an outlet to charge, and I'll say, here, you know, do you want to use my power pack, or because I have two different kinds now in my bag, it's like, you use one and I'll use one, and they're so appreciative, because there's nothing like that feeling of, I'm out of juice.
Exactly, it's your lifeline, huh? You know, you can't be without it, so, you know, all of a sudden, and then, of course, if you need to make a call, you know, God forbid, we use them to make calls. So, yeah, of course, it's so good to have them, and it's so good to be able to share that power if you have it.
Yeah. Well, I have a couple of questions here for you that we were talking about earlier today, just about operating systems and things, you know, the technology today. So one of the questions I get asked a lot, and I don't know the answer, what's so different with the Windows 8 from the other operating systems? We'll get a little deeper here.
So Windows 8 has tiles. So we're used to seeing our iPhones with, you know, the little app icons that don't really do anything other than take you to the app. We've got on Android, we have, I'm sorry, I just drew a blank on the name. We have widgets. And widgets, what they do is they pull information from the Internet and make it live on your screen. So we've seen the widgets, and, you know, sometimes they'll change on the screen. You can see little changes happening. What Windows 8 has are tiles. And what's neat about the tiles is they're all live and they're all doing things. And so you can have a Facebook tile, and you can kind of see what's going on Facebook. You can have a Twitter file, tile, and see what's going on there. You can have an email, a camera, and basically what they're all doing is they're pulling information from those apps or programs and or from the web. And so without even moving off your home screen, you can see a lot of things that are going on. And you could rearrange those tiles so that, you know, you can put your more important ones to the top. And so it's a kind of a really neat way. They kind of called it for a while get in, get out, so that you can, you know, just look at your phone and, you know, you can get a lot of information right there without having to even move on another screen or open anything. So mm-hmm. I think that's really the biggest difference is basically the operating system and the user interface with the tiles. And one other thing that really makes an impression on me is how clean it looks. So if you look at a Windows phone compared to either Android or Apple or BlackBerry, we won't count them out just yet, It's very clean looking. There's usually just like a really nice font. There's not a lot of boxes and circles and everything else once you get past the tiles. And it's just nice clean fonts, and it's just really nice looking. It's a really nice looking interface.
Very good. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, definitely good to know.
Yeah. And another thing is, you know, once people start using Windows 8 on their computers, it's going to be nice for them to really be able to just jump back and forth without having to, you know, really think about, you know, between the two devices, you know, them working differently. Because, you know, I'll be on Android and sometimes I have to think about what I'm doing because it's different than my PC or it's different than a Mac. So it'll just be kind of one and the same. You'll be using a device, a tablet or whatever, and using your PC, and you're on the same exact user interface. So that'll be nice for people when they get on that.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah.
And we're talking about smartphones, and then there's always a question about the dangers of smartphones. You know, can we accidentally download some spyware, or is there really a potential of getting a virus on the smartphone because
yes.
we do so much with it? Really?
Yes, I'm glad you asked that because smartphones are essentially mini PCs. A lot of people don't think of them that way, but because you're downloading stuff from the Internet and opening emails and other things like that, or even text messages, you can make yourself vulnerable to get a virus or spyware or malware. Spyware basically is not bad per se, but it's looking at your trending, you know, how you're browsing and what you're looking at, and it's pulling information from your device for some, you know, a source where they can, you know, kind of see how people are trending. So it's not necessarily bad. Malware is bad. Malware can damage your device. And now there's two more threats. Actually, phishing has been around for a while. Phishing means that you open an email and maybe go into a link, and you're not really paying attention to where you're going because you're on a phone, so you don't always look at the URL. You know, on your computer, it's right up on the top, it's very visible, it's right in your face, so you can see if it's a secure site or not, and you can kind of get an idea if it looks kludgy because it's big in front of you. But on your phone, the way they kind of get you hooked into going to these sites is they kind of put a call to action out there. So they might say, hey, you want a free gift certificate, or you know, act now and you can get, $50 gift card, or, you know, free shipping, or you know, there's always some sort of incentive. So, you know, using that call to action, people will typically jump right onto it, and then they've downloaded spyware or malware without even knowing it. So that's part of the danger. And now smishing, as we're calling it, is when it's done through SMS messaging. So this is becoming exponentially more dangerous because, like, big cities, it's happening. I know you're from Houston, so that would probably be one of the cities where it happens more often than not. And people can get a phone number that they can use, you know, almost like a landline, and from that number they can send out text messages to tons of people, you know, just by getting your phone number on a list and making an offer. And if you go ahead and check out the offer, typically it's like Best Buy gift card for $5,000. And, of course, you're tempted to look at it. And then, you know, you'll get malware or spyware or something like that loaded right onto your device. So you definitely want to be careful. And the takeaway from that, after I just blathered on about all that, is to install something on your device that scans for that. And the best product that I've seen, there's a lot of them out there, is Lookout. And the reason I talk about Lookout is because it's across Android and Apple devices, so you can use it for either. And it's fantastic. It looks, it scans for that stuff. It tells you if a site that you might be visiting is bad and not secure. And it also has another component to it that will find your phone if you lose it. So all around, it's the go-to app.
Yeah, I knew this was going to be a night of geek it out. So I did see earlier this week you were talking about Lookout, and I took a quick peek at it, but I'm certainly going to check that out. So
yeah, it's a great app. I lost my phone once. Actually, it got stolen from a location that in kind of a small town. And so, you know, probably in a place like Houston or something, you wouldn't have the benefit of the cops wanting to hunt down your phone for you because they're probably busier than the town I was in. But they went right to the house of the person who stole it, and they got it back for me.
Wow.
Yeah, they were amazed by the technology, so that was really fun.
Oh, that's cool. Very good.
Yeah.
Now, you and I have smartphones. We have iPhones. You have every phone imaginable, because I've seen you on multiple phones. But I know I have a loyal listener that is a BlackBerry fan. You
yes.
know, just that's what you live by, the BlackBerries.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, is there something new? Something that what's going on with BlackBerries today?
Okay, so they've come out, or they are coming out with BlackBerry 10, which is their new operating system. I think we last left off at OS 6 or 7. I think they were just entering 7. So I'm not sure what happened to 8 and 9. They skipped right over to 10. So OS 10, and it's a really nice interface, and they've kind of caught up with the times a little bit. So it's going to allow for Android apps. That was the biggest problem, is that BlackBerry was so great with security, and they had so many customers, government agencies and stuff that use their email servers because they were so secure, but they didn't keep up with the times of what people wanted to do with their phones, you know, media and download apps and browse the internet. So they kind of got left in the dust. However, with this new app that's coming out, they've addressed many of those issues, and they're coming out with a really strong OS. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens, whether people are willing to give it a chance and, you know, stick it out with BlackBerry, or, you know, a lot of their customers, I'm fearful, probably jumped over to Android or iPhones by now. But we can't count them out yet, because in Canada, where they're from, Research in Motion is the name of their company, they're still, I believe, I might be off on this number, but I want to say 80 million subscribers on BlackBerry. So they're not doing as bad as we might think. So they still have a lot of customers on their system. So we'll see what happens. But I think it's coming out in, you know, I'm not 100% sure. I think I want to say around January the new phone is coming out.
Very good.
It'll be interesting to have four operating systems again instead of just Apple and Android.
Right. Well, and I know a lot of households are similar to mine. We are an Android, an iPhone, or an Apple household. I'm certainly the Apple, the iPhone, and the iPad. I do have a PC, though, but then my husband is Android all the way, and he has an Android tablet and Android phone. So we've got them both here. I just prefer the Apple. He prefers the Android. You carry both. I saw, I was poking around the internet today, and I saw a recent interview that you did on your local news, which I try to catch all your little clips, and you just did a segment, I'm not sure if it was earlier this week or even if it was today, on different apps because of the holiday, for holiday shopping. Was that this week that you did that segment in the news?
I was supposed to do it, actually, on a radio show that I do weekly,
I actually saw you at a news station, so maybe you did it recently. You're talking about the different apps for shopping.
I'm drawing a blank here because I did something on TV with some cool holiday gadgets.
Yes.
But anyway, whatever the case may be, yeah, there's a bunch of cool apps out there for shopping. In fact, I'm trying to use one currently to keep all my Christmas presents straight, because I don't know if you do this, but I go out and I see something cute for somebody, and then I come home and, oh, I already got them this, and that, because, you know, certain people are easier to shop for than others. And then I didn't get, you know, this other person anything because I didn't see anything. So I have to kind of keep a list for myself so I know who I got what for and who I still need to shop for. And actually, it's also nice because it helps you keep a budget. And that is called, I gotta find it here. I put it on my tablet so it's nice and big. And that is called Gift List.
Oh, Gift List. Huh. Gift List. I definitely
love
that.
What's that?
I definitely need that.
Yeah, it's a good one. Now, when you look on your iPhone, it might be called something different, but there's a couple of different ones that do that. You know, when I look for an app that does a certain thing, because I'm, as you know, using both phones, sometimes I'll jump over to my iPhone and they won't have the exact same app. So what I'll do is, I'll put in the search words, and then I'll kind of pay attention to whatever has the most stars, because obviously people, you know, think highly of it enough to rank it, unless it's only, you know, been downloaded by 500 people or something. And, you know, but if it's been downloaded by a lot of people and it's got like 4 or 4.5 stars, then generally it's probably a pretty good app.
Well, and I'm searching for it now. I'm just doing the internet, but it looks like it's both iPhone, if I'm finding the right one, it's iPhone and Android.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good app. I enjoy that one. And have I told you about the oh my gosh, I'm forgetting the name of this app too. I've got so many apps dancing around in my head. There's another app, and I'll look it up while I'm explaining, that what it does is it points you to where you want to go in the mall. So let's just say, you know, you go to the mall and you can't remember where Aeropostale is in the mall, and you want to get your child a sweatshirt or something. And what that app does is it has every mall in the United States, and it has even airports, and it will tell you exactly where it is in the mall. So you can figure out where you need to park if you want to just try to get in and get out. And especially with the holidays and so many people shopping in shopping centers, it kind of helps you out a little bit for that. So I love that one for shopping.
And what was that one? Was it called I think it's
I apparently wasn't that good at multitasking because I didn't come up with it yet.
I will find it. I think it's called Find Something. I remember you talking about it on the show.
You know, there's probably more than one, but I keep wanting to say it's called Point. I can't believe I can't come up with it off the top of my head.
We'll find it. We'll find it.
We'll find it.
And I'll put it on the Facebook page. But I remember you talking about it, so we'll come back to it. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Nope. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know what? The problem is with me switching devices so often. Sometimes I get an app that gets left behind. So I'll get a new device, and I'll put all the apps that I could remember on there, and I'll forget to put certain ones, and then I go to use it, and, oh, I don't have it on this device, and it drives me crazy. That's where Apple comes in nicely, because when you set up a device, it automatically has all your apps right on it.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Now, with an Android, can you set up folders as you can with the iPhone so that you could say, these are all my shopping apps and these are my...
Now, I don't want to sound fresh when I say this, but yes, Android has been doing that for quite a while.
Okay. Yeah, and
a lot of the stuff
that
the iPhone 5 came out with this year was stuff that the Android did already. But, you know, Apple doesn't come out with devices so fast as Android does, so you can't really blame them for not having all the things that Android has right away, you know.
Okay. Well, that's fair. That's fair. So since this is the end of the year, and this is Social Geek Radio's last show of the year, and we love apps, what are some of your, do you think that 2012 were the best apps for the year?
Oh, this is my favorite topic. So I'm actually calling some of these can't live without apps.
Oh.
Because, yeah, because it, like I say, if I go from one device to the next and I don't have that app on it, you know, I got to stop everything and download it. So I think the first one is probably Evernote. And Evernote is a cloud service. It's kind of like Dropbox and some of the others out there. But the reason I like Evernote is because when I'm blogging and I'm constantly going from point A to B to C, and I might not always have the same device. I might have my tablet, I might have my phone, and I might be at my computer. And with Evernote and the cloud service, you can pick up that document at any one of those devices and work on it. So I do a lot of blogging where I'll be sitting somewhere and I'll think of something I want to talk about, and I'll start it on Evernote, and then I'll finish it up, you know, for the time period that I have available, and then I'll move on to something else, and then I can go to work and pick it up there or pick it up on my phone. So Evernote, and also I'm sure you do this a lot because you're, you know, you're constantly on the internet. You see articles that you want to read, but you don't necessarily have the time right then and there to do it. Evernote has a, you know, you can save things to Evernote. So if you're on a URL and you want to just save that whole page, you can just save it right up to you, Evernote. So that's like my number one, besides Lookout, which I already mentioned, the security one. This is, I would say, like my number two best app. So should I go on to number three?
Yeah, what's your number three?
Okay, so my next one is called Pocket, and I just recently discovered this one. This is another cloud service, and Pocket is kind of the same as Evernote in that what you do is you just save pages to it. So if you're on a URL and you know in your menu somewhere you have a, you can share it. You know, so let's say you're on your iPhone and you come across an interesting page and you say, geez, I'd like AK to have this or I'd like Bonnie to have this, and you want to share it, but you also want to save it for yourself to look at another time. So, you know, the little share, you know, when you go to your menu and you have the ability to share. Once you have Pocket installed on your device, that will come up in the list. So you could share by email or by text message, but if you have Pocket installed, then you can just share to Pocket. And it will save the whole page on your Pocket account, and then you can pick it up from any device. So it's almost like a bookmarking service.
So, because I've not done it with my phone before, but I use the Chrome extension Shareaholic. It sounds like it's very much like Shareaholic.
Yeah, it is. Chrome has bookmarks that you can share between two devices that have Chrome. But with Chrome, I'm not always using Chrome on every device.
Right.
Shareaholic I haven't used, so I'm not 100% sure, but it sounds to me like it's probably about the same.
It sounds like it, yes, because I can click on the Shareaholic button and share it via email or bookmark it. But I'll check that out. So it's called Pocket.
Pocket, yeah, I like that a lot. Cause then, and even the other nice thing is that when you open it, it's got, it almost looks like Pinterest where you have all your pages, and you can look really quickly and see the graphics even that went along with the page. Like, you know, back in the day when we had, like, delicious bookmarks and stuff, you couldn't really see what the page was about, you know, so you'd have to maybe open it and see if you could remember, unless you were smart enough to tag it, which I don't always do. But with Pocket, you actually have the picture with it, so it's kind of nice to see the graphic and then, oh, yeah, that's the thing I wanted to look at. So.
Yeah, Right. Oh, cool. Very good.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's give give everybody your fourth and fifth choices.
Okay. So the next one, I'm not sure if I have them in order anymore, but another one that I love, 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 and just will give a shout out to you too because I listened to it, your show on it, is called Pocket Casts. So it's a way to aggregate all your podcasts that you like to listen to. So you can put your search in, and then it will show you, you know, what's available, and then it will kind of make a menu of all your podcasts that you like, and then it will show you a little number of how many recent podcasts. Because, you know, some are once a day, some are once a week. So this way, you know, I can just open up my device and I can say, oh, there's two podcasts from Deb and AK that I want to listen to. So then I can listen to them from there. So that's called Pocket Cast.
Yes, I'm looking at it. And again, iPhone and Android. I love it. Okay, I got to bookmark this one.
Yeah, that's really an outstanding app. I really love that one a lot. And then quickly, my other, another favorite one that I can't live without is called Cam Scanner. Cam is in camera. And what that one does is, let's say I have a document in front of me and I want to make a copy of it real quick. And I don't have a photocopier, but I kind of want to, you know, copy of it and I want to maybe have it digital. So it's basically just taking a picture of a page, but it's a little bit more advanced than just using your camera because it's already set, because it's assuming that it's text on a page. And then you can set whether you want no enhancement, low enhancement, or high enhancement. You could turn it into grayscale. And you can do all of this like right in the beginning stages. So you can see what your document looks like and see how it's going to look best. And if you don't like it, you can go back. And once you say, okay, this looks really good, it actually crops it for you. So let's say you have a white piece of paper and you put it down, unless it's on something completely white and it can't delineate, which is, you know, the corners of the document. But if it can, then it will actually even crop it for you. You know how sometimes when you go to take a picture of a document and it's kind of foreshortened, it's wider in front of you, and as it goes back, it gets shorter. It will actually pick that up, and then it will make it square. So it does everything you can possibly think to enhance your page, and then it saves it as a PDF.
Wow.
Yeah.
Smart friends are so smart. And
yeah, so a lot of times my friends will be like, oh, this is so cool, let me take a picture of it. And I'm like, no, let me get it with my Cam Scanner, because it does a really good job.
Mhm. Now, and again, it looks like that is both Android and iPhone.
Yes, that one definitely is.
Yeah. I would say most of what you, I think everything you've been sharing with us is both, which that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, I always feel bad for AK if it's only an iPhone one, or I feel really crappy if it doesn't have an iPhone app.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot that are cross-platform, so luckily, you know, And if it's not the same exact app, there's oftentimes something very similar to that will look the same. And you know what? It's almost like weather in New England. They say, you know, if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes.
Right.
You're going to be like, where is she going with this? If they don't have an app for Android, wait 5 minutes and they'll have it.
This is true. And Texas is almost as bad as that. But now you and I both love the Charity Miles app.
Yes.
So why don't you tell everybody about Charity Miles?
So Charity Miles is a nice way to get some exercise and make some money for some great charities. And I think they've got 13 on board now.
They added two or three in the last couple of days.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't look at it in the last couple of days because it's been really rainy here, so I haven't gotten an opportunity to get outside and do any walking. But anyway, so here we are just chatting amongst ourselves about it. So it's a charity app where you go out and you walk, run, or bike. But prior to doing that, you go onto the app and you pick a charity that you feel strongly for. So there might be Pencils for Promise. There might be Wounded Warrior Project. There's Michael J. Fox Parkinson's. I'm sure I'm forgetting some of the big ones, like Feeding America, and the global project. But there's Stand Up to Cancer.
Yep.
So there's a bunch of them, and I'm sure ASPCA. So there's one for everybody out there, definitely. And as you walk, run, or bike, it calculates the miles that you walk, and then it makes money for those charities. So if you walk or run, it's 25 cents a mile, and if you bike, it's 10 cents a mile, and it's not motorcycle bike, it's bicycle bike. And so it calculates it, and then when you're done with your walk, you just, hit finish, and it will tell you what your impact was. So let's say if it's for ASPCA, it will tell you how many puppies and kitties got vaccinations or could get vaccinations based on how far you walked, and it will give you your miles. And then it also gives you a nice little chart to show you, you know, how much you've walked. And then the fun part, the social part that I love, is that if you set it up this way, it will send out something to Facebook and let all your peeps know that you did something good, you exercised, and you made some money for charity.
Yep. It's absolutely my favorite. And I know I've said this before on the show, and people are probably getting tired of hearing me praise Gene and his efforts with this Charity Miles app. But it really has had a purpose for me daily to get out and walk, because I feel like, and I did not get out the last 2 days, and I feel like I've let my charities down. It's the same thing. It's just like I've let the charities down. I haven't gone out to walk. Now, I'm on another mission. My daughter started me on this mission about a 5K a month. And most of the 5Ks, which I really did not know until I started participating, you do not have to be a runner. The 5K events that are for this various charities, I did one last weekend for the Arthritis Foundation, and it can be, it was the Jingle Bell Run. You can actually walk it. So they put, and people that are familiar with this, is anybody that is a runner starts off at the starting line, and then the walkers, and there's walkers with strollers and walkers with dogs and just walkers, are at the end, and you can participate too. So last weekend I did a 5K for the Jingle Bell Run or walk for arthritis, but then I also was walking with my Charity Miles app, and I walked for cancer. So I got two charities in one morning.
That's awesome.
I love it. So now I'm looking for a January 5K in the area so that I can keep up with my daughter, who's in New Jersey, doing a 5K a month. So,
that's great.
I love the app. I think it's very beneficial for the charities and certainly for individuals like ourselves that like to donate our time.
Yeah. And then you do the steppers as well. I want to join your steppers, and I just haven't gotten around to making that happen yet.
So that's the franchise group, and we'll start it again the first of the year, where a bunch of us, it's a Facebook group that we're stepping. So I have my pedometer that tells me how many steps I've taken in a day or a week, and we're just for fun competing against each other. So.
Yeah, that's neat. It's always fun when you get a nice spirited competition going between, you know, your coworkers, or, you know, like my sister's in California, so sometimes we, you know, compete about different things like that. My sister and I did the breast cancer, the 3-day walk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's 60 miles, and so we had to do a lot of training for that. But we couldn't train together because she was in California and I was here in Connecticut. So we were using the pedometer in the sneaker with Nike. Nike had a thing with your iPod where you can keep track of miles. And so we would have a little competition that whoever walked the least amount of miles by the time we got together to do our walk had to buy the other one dinner. So that was fun.
Yeah. And, you know, you and I both love social media, and the fact that so many of these type of things, you know, are virtual, they're digital, and you can participate with your friends that are in separate states or across the country. But you feel like there's that connection that you can participate together. So I really love what the digital world has done for us to bring us closer, which I think is just, it's odd. You know, we're closer, but we're still hundreds or thousands of miles apart.
Right. And how about sometimes we're closer, but we're sitting at a table across from each other, but we're on our phones connecting with people in other states. That's always so funny when I see a table full of people and they're all on their phones and they're not talking to each other.
Yes, yeah. It's a sad reality. I saw it just yesterday, and it was a couple. I was picking up dinner, and there they are sitting there, and they're on their both on their phones. It's like, you're together. Look.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. But I know myself personally, I try not to text when I'm in the company of other people. More often than not, I'm looking something up that we're talking about.
Right.
You know, not to be like a smarty pants or a know-it-all, but sometimes we'll be talking about a movie and we can't think of the actor's name or something. I can't go 5 minutes without knowing the answer to something, so I'll have to look it up right away.
Right.
Which is why I can't be away from my phone for like 10 minutes, because if I don't know the answer to something, it literally makes me crazy.
Yeah, we're spoiled. We are definitely spoiled. So we talked a lot about apps. I think you have a best keyboard.
Yes, I do. I didn't include that in apps because I thought that was kind of a little bit of a different category. But so I'm using, I was using Swype, it's called, Swype. And Swype actually came out quite a few years ago. Many people don't realize that it was available long before the Android came out. It was on Windows, a Windows smartphone called the Omnia. And so that was quite a few years ago. And basically what Swype is you just kind of trace your fingers over the letters. You don't have to take your finger off the letter on the keyboard. And it makes like a little trail, you know, and it can figure out 9 times out of 10 what your word is. So it's pretty clever, and it's so fast. So that's what I was using. And then I started trying out another one called SwiftKey. And what SwiftKey does is you can tell it kind of like what your habits are. Are you a fast typer? Are you a sloppy typer? You know, are you accurate? So you give it a little bit of information about how you type, about what your habits are, and then it will try to predict your next word. So as you're typing, it will predict the word, which is nothing new, but it will try to predict the next word based on what you've typed so far. So, you know, just for example, if you put in by the, it might come up with way, you know. It might come up with side. It might come up with, you know, ocean. So by the side, by the ocean. So it'll try to guess what your words are. But on top of that, now they have combined the two, and they have SwiftKey Flow. So you can use swipe, and it predicts the next word. So it's so super fast, and it's super accurate. So it makes me look like I can type fast.
Because
I'm not a good typer at all.
From what I can tell, it's only Android.
That might be the case. Because I think with Apple, they're pretty certain that their system does a pretty good job of figuring out, because it does a lot of word correcting.
Right.
So, in using my Apple iPhone, I remember the first time I ever typed on an iPhone, and I thought, oh, it doesn't have swipe. I'm going to be terrible on this, but it actually is very good at word predicting. So I think that Apple probably feels as though they have a pretty good system in place.
Right.
And for all I know, there might be an aftermarket app out there that will allow you to do a swipe on your iPhone. So that might be the case, and I might have to stand corrected on that, but I like it on my tablet because I'm a terrible typer. I went to art school. I'm not a good typer. So to have that swipe where I could just use my one finger and zoom all over the keyboard, I want to have it on my PC at work. I'm waiting to get some sort of keyboard with swipe on it.
Well, if it comes out, I'm sure you're going to be the first one to have it. You mentioned the tablet. And what are your choices or your best of 2012 tablets that came out this year?
Okay, so I started with a 7-inch, I went to a 10-inch, and I'm back to a 7-inch tablet again. And there's a couple of reasons. I mean, it always is dependent on what you're going to use it for, I think. So everybody's going to kind of vary a little bit in this department. You know, they started out even iPad, and when I say 7, 10, and 7 again, those are Android, only because I liked the Android operating system. So I'm making a long story even longer here. But the one that I really like is the Samsung Galaxy Tab, and it's they've got a couple different versions out. I think currently the 10 is the called the Tab 2, 10.1. And then in 7-inch version, it's the Tab 2 7-inch. So those are two that I really, really like, so depending on which size. And then I have also one other that the people in my stores will probably want to kill me for because we don't carry them, and it's the Nexus 7. And the reason I like that one is because I get a chance to see what Google has to offer prior to everybody else. So when they come out with a new version of Jelly Bean, this Nexus 7, it's not slated to a certain carrier, so you don't have to go through all the restrictions that Verizon might have or AT&T might have before an upgrade comes out, or I should say update. So it gets all those updates faster. So that's the reason I like that, because I can kind of see what's coming ahead of time. But I love it for reading books, and, you know, it's the 7-inch is nice because I can just chuck it in my pocketbook, and it's not like I have to carry a big, big bag to carry a 10-inch tablet. So I'm really loving it.
Cool.
Yeah. I like the mini iPad. I think I would like that, too, the mini iPad. I like that as well.
Now, so I have a secret, and I don't think my – how am I going to say this? So I bought a mini iPad as a gift.
Okay.
I'm dying to open it and test it. That would be kind of cheesy, wouldn't it, before I give it for the holiday gift?
You could tell the person that you wanted to set it up for them.
That's what I'm thinking. I think I need to set it up. But I'm looking at the box, and I haven't even taken the plastic off of it, but I'm so tempted. I think I might just have to do that tomorrow just to make sure it works and, as you said, set
yeah.
it up.
You know, because, you know, if you got it a couple of weeks ago, you maybe need to check it before the expiration date on the receipt. And, yeah, you better check. You better open it.
You should check it. And I should be loading some of these great apps that you've mentioned tonight.
You know what? You would be doing the recipient a disservice if you didn't open it.
You don't even do that. Okay. Thank you. You've given me your blessing. I would say, well, you know, Bonnie said I should test this out.
She said it would be all right. That person doesn't live in Connecticut, do they?
No.
Okay, I'm safe. Yeah, go ahead and tell them I told you. Tell them go right ahead.
We just have a few more minutes here, and I'm going to pick your brain as long as I can.
Excellent.
Think you actually shared with me, too, that you have a best-case waterproof.
Yes.
What is this?
So you're going to love this one because it came out for iPhone first.
Ooh.
Yeah, and it really kind of strictly is an iPhone case, but it's called LifeProof, and it's a beautiful case. It, you know, anybody that works outside or works in a place where their phone would have the possibility of getting wet or mud on it or anything like that, or even dropping it. So it seals onto your phone, and it's you know, it's got another screen on the top of it, so it's completely waterproof. And the first time I put it on my iPhone, I trusted it so much, I walked right over and threw it in the pool.
Oh, my.
Thank God it worked, because I think that my boss would have not been kindly to write off another iPhone for me.
Well, and it looks like they have them for the iPad as well and the iPod Touch.
Yeah, they have them out now for a lot more devices. In fact, I think we're going to be shortly getting them for some of the Android phones that are pretty popular. But they're really a great case. I shouldn't say they're on the expensive side because if you had to go out and buy a whole new iPhone,
mm-hmm.
you know, you'd be spending a lot of money, and people don't realize that when you go and buy a phone that you're not activating, the activation is not subsidizing the price anymore. So you're going to pay, you know, $500, $600, $700. So for, you know, I think they're like about $79, the LifeProof cases. I mean, that's a pretty good deal to save your phone.
I'd say so. I mean, I let my 2-year-old, 2.5-year-old grandson use my iPad. I mean, Gigi's iPad is his iPad, so he uses it all the time. Now, we're never near water, but I do not have a good case for it yet. So I'm going to have to look into something so that if it is dropped, that it's protected, and the chances are that he will have his juice or something near it. So,
yeah. Well, I can tell you that another brand, you know, if you're not concerned about water, that I absolutely, positively love is called OtterBox.
Oh, yeah.
A cute name, OtterBox. And they make covers for everything, and they make all varying degrees. So they have a commuter series, they have a defender series, and they have a reflex series. And, you know, so they make cases for everybody's different needs. And the cases are wonderful. I just saw the new colors that they have out, and they're just gorgeous. And they also have, I saw the one for the iPad, and it was really neat. Made me want to go out and get an iPad just so I could have that exact case. But it has a neat feature on it. They actually have bumpers on it, but they don't stick out. So what happens is if you were to drop it, say, on the corner of the device, there's like little air pockets that give way so that it doesn't take the impact of dropping it.
Oh.
So they have a really neat system there. So if you're worried about it dropping it or anything, and they even showed where they had the cover on it and you could drop a bowling ball on it and it would protect the screen.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty good. I'm going to have to. I have an OtterBox for my iPhone. I just have been lazy and haven't bought one for the iPad, but I'm certainly going to have to do that because one of the things he likes to do is we like to do FaceTime with his aunt that's in New Jersey, and he loves to talk to her and he loves to talk to her dog, and then he pretends he's walking them. So I do let him walk with the iPad, and he's walking the dog. So I have to get it.
That's so cute.
Well, you know, he's 2.5, and can you imagine what is going to be out there when he's our age in technology?
You know what? I can't even fathom. I think we'll have tablets and phones built right into our heads, and we'll just have to blink to turn them on.
Yeah.
I mean, have you seen the Google? I can never say Google when I try to say it fast. Have you seen the Google glasses?
No.
Oh, my God. So the minute those come out, I have to have them. They're the coolest thing I ever saw. It's kind of like Data from Star Trek, but they're not quite that weird looking. They're glasses, and it just has like a little piece off to the side, and it actually shows things right into your vision, but not so much that it impedes your vision. So you can see maps and stuff like that. It's just the neatest thing. It has a camera built in, so you can go walking up to something and say, and it takes voice commands, of course. So you could just say, take a picture, and it'll take a picture. So you could do everything hands-free from these things. You're so cool.
Oh, neat. Yeah, so geeky.
So I can't imagine what more there is to come out with, you know?
No, I mean, and whenever the phone rings, I mean, he knows all the tunes and the tones of the phones, and he'll look at it, and he knows how to swipe it, and then he wants to see a visual. So, like, FaceTime to him is like, if we can't do FaceTime, he doesn't want to talk on the phone. It's like, oh, I don't know. Well, the Block Talk Radio operator is telling us that we're coming down to the wire here. We have to go. But before we go, I want you to please share your contact information so that everybody can follow you and learn, just pick your brain as I have.
Awesome. Yeah, I love it when people pick my brain. So if people have questions about any device, even if it's not a Verizon device, please, please, please shoot me a question and I'll try to figure out the answer. The best place to find me and find all the different places that I am is cellularchloe.com. So that's C-H-L-O-E, as in Chloe.
Chloe.
And that will give you – I'm sorry, Deb.
No, you're good. Keep going.
That will give you the link to my blog. And in the blog, you can ask me a question. It'll give you the link to Twitter, Facebook. Forgetting what else. Oh, YouTube. I make a lot of YouTube videos on how to do things with your phone. So it'll give you the link to all those different places. So, you know, you can find the appropriate place to ask a question or just shoot me an email right through the blog.
Very good. Well, thank you so much. It was great having you. I hope to see you again really soon. And
yeah.
We'll chat here soon again.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Deb. It was fun.
Thanks, and have a great holiday and a happy new year.
Thanks, you too.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.